Who's all glad to be here today on this lovely morning? The sun is shining, the trees look green. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a great day to worship the Lord, to be thankful for what you have. And I'm so glad that y'all are here. I'm so glad that we have a place to gather. If y'all would all stand and worship with us and get ready for this youth Sunday.
I am free.
us today to know that you can walk in everlasting love and light. Thank you, Jesus, we magnify you. We come with prayers today. We have Eric Dozier, brother and sister Charles Fleming, Dee Dee Freeland, brother and sister Griffith, Singh Hood, Kenny Ham, Michael Malone, Georgia McCool, Tanya McCann, and Mark Friddle. Any other names, not on the projector right now, right there, but any other names that you have on your heart and on your mind, and maybe for you personally, be specific about your prayers and be intentional for what you want, because God will so freely give and is so eager to give. So, Lord, we come to you today. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for what you do and what you are. We come, Jesus.
Oh. you change everything.
Lives are healed.
Lives healed. Hope found. Healed. Lives. Jesus, you change everything.
It's all in who you know. You can know a famous politician and they maybe can give you some breaks here and there. You may can know, be on good terms with a banker and they can give you some money. But at the end of the day, there comes a point where man's ability to help, it runs out.
Right.
Amen. The song says that he's the name that I run to. He's the name that I call. And there really is nobody like Jesus.
Oh, thank
amen.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just a couple hundred folks gathered on Sunday to stir up some emotions. But I'm not the preacher today, but I know enough to know that there have been real life moments in my life where Jesus stepped in.
That's right.
I didn't see him, but the evidence was clear. Amen. And lots of times I didn't even know he was around.
Right.
He just made a way where there seemed to be no way. He just opened the door. Amen. So when I come on Sundays with you great group of believers, amen, I don't come to be pretty. I don't come to be cute. I come to offer up praise to a king. When I should have been in the grave. Amen. He made the car swerve and miss when I should have lost everything, when I should have lost my mind. What a God. Amen. So good to be in church. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, you sure look pretty today. If it's a man, I pray you mean that with kindness today. Amen. Didn't these students, haven't they done a great job so far today? So awesome. It is so good to be in service today with you great folks. Looking forward to the word of the Lord from Brother Stephen here in a little bit. God's going to move in a special way, and we're thankful for that. But we've come to a very spiritual part of the service, and it's called tithe and offerings. Amen? Amen. God, if you didn't know it, giving is a form of worship. One amen. We're going to teach on that one day. Amen. Amen. Giving is a form of worship. Amen. You can give of your time, yes, but giving of your finances is worship. Amen. God honors that. And so when you give today, give unto the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
Man, we don't believe in harping on people. You got to give, got to give. No, the Bible says you should want to give, and that's up to you what you give. But God loves a cheerful giver. And so thank you for your giving. And I do want to take a couple of say a few announcements before we get started. And I do want to say our students are leaving this week for NAYC. So please be in prayer for them, for God to keep his hand upon them and to bless them. And have a great time. Looking forward to hearing great reports about their trip. Of course, there is a bassinet in the foyer for Brother Heath and Sister Laney for their new baby girl. We're excited to have a new baby in the church here in a few months. Amen. It's going to be great, and looking forward to that. Also, I want to make mention, I haven't really hit on this very much, but there was 2 weeks we gathered together here for some equipping type things, more or less just to get together. Great group of you were here, and there are some volunteer forms on the desk. In the future, that'll be an online thing, but for now, we just put some forms on the desk. And if you were in that meeting, in any of those two meetings, if you would, please grab a form, put your name on that, and if you just number that, it'd be great. A 1, 2, or 3. A 1 means what you're most interested in participating in, 2 being second, you know, the rest. So just give us a 1, 2, 3, and as I said, in those two meetings, that we want everybody who wants to be a part in our church, and that should be everyone, amen? So please pick up a form before you leave service today. Fill that out and bring it back Wednesday evening, and it'd be a great thing for us to have in our arsenal going forward so God can launch you into ministry. Amen. So please be a Amen. Part of that. And of course, VBS is continuing. We have 2 more Wednesday nights, and it's been a great turnout these past 3 weeks. Thankful for that. And so please be a part of that. And next Sunday, July 27th, I should back up, this Wednesday night, Brother Kelso is going to be preaching again. If you were not here last month when he preached at the door, what a message we heard that night from the Lord. Amen. You got to be in service Wednesday night. God's going to move in a special way. Amen. If you didn't get that message, amen, you can pay $30 for it and give it to the church, and God will bless you for giving it to the church. Amen. Just playing. But seriously, get that message. It was a great word. And I know Wednesday night is going to be no different. Praying for that. Amen. This coming Sunday is our last Sunday of the month for Freedom Sunday. And Brother John Proctor is going to be preaching for us. And I felt this here several weeks ago when he was here. And God's going to move in a special way on next Sunday. Also, next Sunday is a nacho luncheon following that service. The last one we had was an incredible turnout. Lots of folks showed up. So please come over there for that next Sunday. That's $6 a person, and it's going to be a great time. And also on the 27th, the mission pledge is due. I know these are a lot of announcements, and just bear with me, please. July the 28th, Sister Candy oversees that, does a fabulous job in that. And she did send a text this morning. I forget what the place was called y'all were supposed to go to, but it had closed down. And there is another place that she's been allowed to potentially get if we have at least 30 ladies who would sign up for that. And it's a meal and a dessert included, and it's $20 per person, and that is on July 28th. So we need at least 30 ladies to participate in that for her to be able to do that. So if you're able to go, please get with her or sign up in the foyer. And she needs to have a count by Wednesday night. Okay, so please do that. That'd be great. Of course, August the 3rd is, of course, a sad goodbye here at our church for our student pastor and music director and their families. We'll be honoring them in the Family Life Center following that service. Looking forward to doing that in Jesus' name. And then everyone said prayer. You know, prayer still works.
That's right.
I'm telling you, man, it's like TNT if you ever get plugged into it. Amen. Prayer is vital. We're having 21 days of prayer. I'll get more in detail on this, how we're going to do it, some specifics we're going to do August 5th through 25th, and we're ending that month with revival with evangelist Jonathan Whittemore. It's going to be a great, great time here at our church in the month of August, but 21 days of prayer, August 5 through 25. You don't want to miss that, and it's going to be great. God's going to be blessing. Thanks for Brother Griffith for on Saturday nights coming for prayer. God bless them for praying in our church. I mean, you can never pray enough. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. You never can pray enough. Amen. I want Brother Coy to come right quick. You can be seated. Give us a few minutes here. Here, several weeks ago, I met with Mike Long. Some of you may know him in our community, and I thought it would be a great service to do this in today. We're taking a few minutes here, I know, but Mike Long oversees praying for all of our students and all of our schools in Lamar County, and he and I met for coffee here a couple weeks ago and discussed all of this. And Brother Coy is the representative for this, and he's going to talk to you today and give a brief presentation. When you walked in the doors, you received a pamphlet and a blue card, and Brother Coy is going to explain those things to you today. Give Brother Coy a hand as he comes. He's going to preach a little bit, and God's going to move.
Thank you, everyone. First, I just want to backtrack a little bit and give y'all an update on the Don't Stop Praying signs. I'd like to thank the UPC of Paris for being the cornerstone of the Don't Stop Praying signs. From the very beginning, this church right here has backed it all the way, and I'm proud to say that we have passed out over 1,100 signs. Wow. The signs don't range just from Lamar County. They go out of state, they're down in Austin, as far east and west as we can imagine. So thank you all again. This morning we passed out Lamar County prayers for students. If you did not get one, we still have some out in the foyer. Please pick that up. A briefing on that, Mr. Mike Long started this program years ago because he had a burden on his heart of the relationships the students had in the school districts, in the public schools. One every four students are plugged into a church, but the other three might not be into a church. So this opportunity allows us to pray for the three. I believe prayer is the most, a non-selfish act. So you're going to be praying for a student, if you choose to do this program, that you won't know. They won't know you. It's anonymously. You get a picture and a name of the student. You can keep that in your wallet however you choose to. I know some people hang it up in their car, and every time they see that, they choose to pray for that student right then and there. This month of July, we've been talking about freedom. So extend your hearts out and pray for these students to allow them spiritual freedom that they might not know how to receive, but you are plugging in for them, praying for these students. I'm not a very strong reader. Proud to say that. Not a strong reader, so I don't feel like reading this out to you. But if you would take the time to read this yourself and choose to fill this out, be greatly appreciated. The blue card just says your name. If you just put your name and the church you go to, which is UPC of Paris, you should be proud of that. This is a great church. Today's date. Then if you put an asterisk on how many students you would like to pray for. We'll be collecting those today if you just put it in the offering plate. And sometime soon, within the coming months, after the school program starts, we'll have a little ID card of the students and their name. And I'll get back to everyone that fills this program out. And so they will have the individuals, the students, that they'll be praying for. Let's see. If you have any questions about the program, please reach out to me. I will do my best to answer all the questions. If I don't have an answer, I will get the answer for you. If you don't feel comfortable today about filling it out, please go home and pray for it. I pray that this is on your heart, and we take the opportunity to extend UPC of Paris out of this church and then the hearts of students and adults around Lamoille County, Red River County, all around. That's about it for me, y'all. Thank y'all.
Everyone said, don't stop praying.
Don't stop praying.
Let's all stand one more time, amen. Amen. Prayer is the most vital thing, amen. It'd be great to have 100 folks sign up to pray for our students in Lamoille County, amen. So please fill that out, put in the offering plate, or at least put it in by next Sunday. And Brother Coy and I spoke about this as well. If you put on that card, you want 2 students, you can do that as well. Just put an asterisk at the bottom and say you want 2 students to pray for. I mean, it's the will of God for every student in Lamoille County to be prayed for. Amen. You want somebody praying for your kid? Amen. I want to pray for every student in this county. That's the will of God, and we're excited about that. We're going to transition now to our next phase of the service before Brother Stephen comes and preaches today. And I believe it is the will of the Lord for people to leave this house free.
That's right.
You believe that today? If you believe that, lift your hands right now. Jesus, I pray for freedom, God, to be at the forefront of everyone's mind today. God, I pray for freedom, God, to flow in this room today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God.
Just our hope. begin to lift up his praises that he has spoken. It's for you today. Whatever you're needing, the miracle working power is for you. It's not for the best dressed one here. It's not for the licensed minister. It's for you. And there have been lies that you have told yourself, that the enemy has told you, that others have told you, that God is good, but maybe you've done a little too much. And you need to settle in where you are and need to go on with how life is going to be. And you need to accept what you have already experienced. And that is the limit of what God is going to do. That you had a calling, but some things came up. And you'll have to just settle with the fact that you may not see those things. But I'm here to tell you today that the devil is a liar. That God's truth is going to break free every chain that has lied and tried to bind you. And that you are going to lift your hands higher than you have ever lifted them today. Because you have realized that I am not bound to what I thought I was bound to. But I am free to be exactly who God has called me to be. Who he has promised me to be. And nothing less. Because the name of Jesus is what frees you. The world does not tell you how far you can go. The world does not tell you. Your sin does not tell you how far you can go. But the Word of God tells you that there is no end to his kingdom. And the kingdom of God is moving forward. There is a phrase that usually guest preachers are introduced with. That the host pastor will hand the microphone to the guest preacher and they'll say, take your liberty. And they'll hand the microphone to the preacher. And we as a church hope and pray that the preacher of the word takes their liberty. Meaning that they listen to what the Spirit of God is doing in the direction that the Holy Ghost is moving. And then without reservation and without hesitation, they follow the move of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to go and attend a church where the preacher of the word is not taking his liberty. But I don't want to attend a church where the people of God do not take their liberty as well. The taking their liberty is not just for the man behind the pulpit, but it's for the people that are there that should be bound by oppression. It should be bound by chains of the world, but decide there is liberty somewhere, and that liberty is where the Spirit of God is. And I'm not just going to passively hope that it falls on me, but I'm going to take hold of it, and I'm going to march out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That freedom is for you. If you're ready to take your liberty this morning, begin to lift your hands up toward it for the source of that liberty, which is Jesus Christ, and begin to shout with a voice of triumph and begin to say, I am free. I am free. God, where you are going, I'm going with you. God, where you are moving, I'm going to see it. God, I'm not bound anymore. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I am free. In Jesus' name, give God a hand clap of praise with everything that you have got. Jesus. I have two scriptures and we can be seated. The first, our scripture is going to be found in Romans 10, verse 11. Romans 10, verse 11. And I'd like to, as you're getting there, thank and give honor to our pastor, the Davis family. Do we love our pastor and pastor's wife and their leadership? Praise God. And I would like to also give honor to this church as a whole, the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, for everything that you have done to further the kingdom of God. Everything you have done to bless this community, to bless this world, to bless this youth group, and to bless me and my family. And I would like to give honor to you. I'd like to give honor to our youth group, U-Turn Student Ministries, the unbiased, greatest youth group in the entire world. Give it up for our youth, our young people, leading in worship today, pushing the Spirit of God forward. And then I'd like to give honor to my wife playing the keys. Give it up for my wife. In Jesus' name. And I will say that at the end of the altar call today, there will be a baptism. We will be having someone baptized. And so be sure you stay. But then also, not only to just experience it and to celebrate with another person going down in the water, coming up a new creature, which was something we always should celebrate, but also knowing that there is somebody in the house of God today that is on the fence, that has not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the titles, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but being baptized in the only saving name given among men whereby we must be saved, Jesus' name. That if you are felt led, like, I have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, what do I do? If you feel led to act on it and to move in faith today, what I want you to do, it's really easy. We've got robes, we've got towels for you. You won't have to get your fancy clothes wet. Don't worry about it. But if you make your way to this little bench over here towards where the baptistry is, you just slip your way there. One of us are going to find you, and we're going to help you get to what you need to do. We're going to talk to you. We're going to encourage you, and you'll be baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ, and you'll be a new creature when you walk out of here today. How does that sound? Amen. Amen. It's for you. Romans 10:11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Everybody said amen to that. But then now 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Everybody shout liberty. In Jesus' name, high five two people and you can be seated. And say something nice while you're at it. Don't lie, but say something nice. In Jesus' name. The title of my message tonight is Take Your Liberty. To take your liberty. And so I believe the church, you and I, are headed to the greatest revival that we have ever seen. The greatest experience of the Holy Ghost and the greatest outpouring that we have ever been a part of as the kingdom of God. You and I, the church body, are moving quickly towards it. That God has already prophesied that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That there are going to be miracles. There's going to be signs, and there's going to be wonders, and there's going to be prodigals that return home. There's going to be backsliders that come back. There are going to be bodies that are healed. There are going to be minds that are restored. There are going to be people that you thought would never come close to the Spirit of God are going to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and are going to turn from drug addicts into preachers. And there are going to be people that were bound by depression and anxiety are going to be turning around and teaching Bible studies and preaching the gospel to the lost. I believe that God is going to do a miraculous thing here close, here soon, and I want to see it. I want all of us to see it. I want to see those things. I want to be a part of what God is doing, what he is going to do. But believe it or not, the kingdom of God, whether you and I are involved or we are isolated away from it, is going to move forward. It is predestinated that the kingdom of God is going to win in the end, whether you are a part of that victory or not. Whether you and I are there to see it or not, those miracles, signs, and wonders are going to take place. But I want us to be there. And the enemy is going to use every strategy and every trick just to keep you and me out of the prophetic victory of the kingdom of God. One of those strategies is what our focus is this morning, that Satan will try and suffocate us with shame to create isolation and to create hopelessness and to smother out the calling that God has placed on your individual life. But I've come today with the power of the Holy Ghost and with the anointing that God poured out on us when he died for your and my sins and said that you see me now. But I'm going to go and I'm going to send my spirit and I'm going to dwell inside of you. And greater things that I have done, you are going to do. And there's going to be that power of the Holy Ghost that is going to fall on this place this morning and is going to fill you with a strength and with a power for you to be able to do what you never thought you could do. And bondages and chains of addiction are going to fall off in the house of God this morning. That there's going to be shame that kept you from being able to lift your hands in church and being able to lift your eyes up to heaven is going to fall off, and you're going to be able for the first time in church worship freely and lifting up holy hands and being able to shout like you know you wish you could do, but your sin and your past held you captive. That is no longer going to be the case, not because of something I did, not because of something I said, but because the Holy Ghost moved and you allowed him to move, and you said, God, if you are wanting to empower somebody, empower me. If you're wanting somebody's chains to fall off this morning, it might as well be mine. And so with the power that you have been given in the breath in your lungs, just begin to shout the name of Jesus with the top of your voice if you want that victory in Jesus' name. Oh, I believe there's more people that want victory in the house than what you let on. Begin to shout. Begin to clap your hands if you want a victory today. If you want freedom from shame today. If you want that revival to not just happen in the church, but happen in your home today. In Jesus' name. Let's take a word of prayer right now. And just begin to reach towards heaven and just seek what God is wanting to do in our lives, what he's wanting to do in your life specifically. Father, I feel your presence in this house. But God, as I feel your presence, I feel the opposition. I feel the chains that don't want to break. I feel the battles that we have come in here with that do not want us to take this liberty. But right now, with the power of the Holy Ghost, God, I pray that your spirit begins to move and your light begins to push back every bit of darkness. I pray that chains are going to begin to fall off of somebody, that there's going to be generational curses that are going to fall off and life's trajectories are going to be changed. God, I claim that the Holy Ghost is going to fill somebody today. God, I believe and I claim that, God, people are going to step into their callings that you have placed on their life and the purpose for their life. In Jesus' name, everybody shout, amen. Amen. Satan is going to try to suffocate us with shame, and it takes almost no time before we see this happen in the Bible. It's in Genesis 3, 7 through 10, in the Garden of Eden. And the garden was never supposed to be a hiding place. It's supposed to be a place of intimacy between God and his creation, a place where humanity was supposed to rule and reign and subdue the other creation of God. But we read here in 3 through 10 that when then the eyes of both of them were opened, they had tasted the forbidden fruit that God told them not to try, not to eat, and both of their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, and they heard the sound of the Lord. They heard their Redeemer. They heard the one who created them, that knew every thought of theirs, that loved them beyond measure. They hear him coming. And they hid from him. God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from their Redeemer, hid themselves from one that loved them, hid themselves from the one who already knew where they were, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And this is where we see that Adam, if you are playing hide and seek with somebody, Adam is not who you want to play with. He folds immediately and just immediately says, "I heard your voice in the garden and I hid. I'm hiding right now." And if I was to play hide and seek with him, I was like, "Dude, shut your mouth." All it took was a question. It says, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." The very first emotion that Adam and Eve felt after sin was shame. They were naked before the sin, but they weren't ashamed of it. They were, after the sin, the same way they were before the sin. How they were created by God. They were naked before, and it was not a problem. But suddenly, when sin entered in, their view of themselves changed. They weren't just ashamed of what they had done, but they were ashamed of who they were. The scripture doesn't say that I was afraid because I messed up. I was afraid because I did something wrong. No, now the turn is not, the vision is not on what he did, but it was on himself now. Because that is what shame does, because guilt says I made a mistake. But shame says I am a mistake. Guilt says, I did something wrong, but shame says, something is wrong with me. Sin is anything that separates you from God. But shame convinces you that there is no point in trying to return to God. The thing is, sin cannot change who you are, but it can change the way that you think of yourself. And this, I want to help somebody today, because if it did not create you, it has no authority to name you. It has no authority to tell you who you are if it did not create you. And I've shared this with the youth many times, and I've probably shared it with you, but I can't remember anything, so I assume you can't either. But there is, imagine, Corbin, I think I used you the last time, so I'm using you again. There's Mama and Daddy Corbin, and they're in the delivery room, and their baby Corbin has just been born. And they're looking at him, and they haven't named him yet, but they are looking at him, and they are so excited about this new baby that they have created and they have brought into the world. And then I just kick in the door. Poof. His name's John. And I leave. And they're looking at each other like, well, who is that? And the doctor, and they look, and they're like, well, this baby's name is John now. I would imagine that Mama and Daddy Corbin would say, that is not his name. They're like, well, this person just came in and said, he's like, no. That I do not know who that person is, and that is not his baby. But this is our baby. We created him, and whoever that was does not have any authority to bust in here and tell us who this creation is. Only the one who created you can tell you who you are. The enemy can try to tell you that you are an addict, that you are ADHD, that you are depressed, that you are homosexual, that you are this, and that you are that, that you are lost and you are broken. But if it did not create you, it cannot name you. Only the one who died for you can name you. Only the one that created you and empowered you and called you into what you have been called to live in is the one that can tell you who you are. So I've come against a lie today for somebody that says, I would do it, but I am just ADHD. I would do it, but I am depressed. I would do it, but I am introverted. I would do it, but I am a sinner. You are a child of God that has been called out of his darkness into his marvelous light. And you are now today coming against the lies of the enemy that have lied too long, that try to tell you that you are something that you are not. Maybe you've already been close to Jesus, and maybe something went wrong, and maybe you started strong and you were all in, but then you messed up and you fell back, and maybe you betrayed the one that you never thought you would deny. That's Peter's story. In Luke 22, 61 through 62, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter, realizing that he had done exactly what Jesus had said, and that he had denied the one that he said, these other people may deny you, these other people may betray you, but I am never going to leave you. I am never going to betray you. And he realizes that he did exactly that. And it says, so Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter failed Jesus in the worst way, denying him three times at his darkest hour as he's facing the accusations and about to be crucified. And shame followed Peter like a shadow. And when the rooster crowed and Jesus turns his eyes toward him, because Peter and Jesus have this thing about eye contact. Peter had the same moment that he's walking with God on the water. But then things begin to happen and he loses focus and he begins to sink. And then later on, as Things are coming to a close with Jesus' on earth ministry. He's locked in on Jesus saying, I will never betray you. But then storms come in his life and he does what he thought he would never do. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he messes up not just once, but three times and actively denies and curses God. But Jesus looks at him and looks him in the eyes, and Peter looks back and makes eye contact with Jesus. And Peter in himself saw disappointment. But Jesus looked at him with mercy. That look did not say, I'm done with you, how could you? But it said, I'm not finished with you yet. And Peter goes back to fishing. He goes back to his old life, because that's what shame does, is it makes you retreat to who you were before you tried to step out of the boat. Because you tried to say, well, I'm going to start praying more than I've ever prayed. And then you miss a day and you say, well, forget it. It's not worth it. I'll just go back to what I was doing. I'm going to stop listening to the music and watching the shows that I used to watch, because God has been telling me that I need to cut this stuff out. But then I mess up one time and shame begins to take over me. And so I think, what's the point? I'm not able to do this. I'm just going to go back to who I used to be. Shame will make you retreat because you are no longer believing that you can be what God said that you can be. But we see in Peter's story in John 21, I didn't give it to you, so don't panic. Jesus finds Peter again, and he doesn't rebuke him like we think he should, but he redeems him. He doesn't say, why did you do that to me? But he says, do you love me? Shame makes you think that God will want to reprimand you, but grace shows that God wants to restore you. Peter stood in the same spot where he had failed, beside a fire. He denied Jesus by a fire. And now, after retreating back to his old life and thinking that God would want nothing to do with him, that he had messed up too far to try again and has gone back to his old life, but now here he is again beside a fire with Jesus, and he three times denied Jesus, but now Jesus in the same situation is giving him three times to tell him, do you love me? Three denials and three chances to say, I love you. And this very same man is the Jesus that was used to preach the first apostolic sermon in Acts chapter 2. Peter's shame did not disqualify him, but God used his scars to make him stronger. And so if you have shame in your life and you think that God cannot use you, it is a lie from the enemy. And I've come to tell you today that your situations, your mess ups, your flaws, and your weaknesses do not disqualify you from getting plugged into the church and serving. You can still preach the gospel. You can still teach a Bible study. You can still volunteer. You can still get involved. You can still hear the voice of God, and you can still pray more than you've ever prayed. You can listen to the worship music like you never thought you could get into the habit of. You can do it. When I was younger, I was riding with my dad and my grandfather in the car, and I was falling asleep. I was in the back, but I was awake enough. You know how you're kind of in that state in the car where it's bumping around enough where you're asleep, but you can hear what's going on. And my dad, as you've heard me talk about him before, he had made his share of mistakes. And, you know, he had his demons that he fought, as we all have. Demons of addiction and, honestly, demons of just self-destruction and shame. But as I was there asleep in the back seat, I was awake just enough to hear my dad turn to my grandfather and say, I just think I've messed up too much for God to actually love me. And with everything in me, I wish I could somehow go back in time and wake my younger self up and tell him, sit up and tell him that that is a lie of the enemy, and make myself up and say the devil is a liar, and that not only does God desperately love him, but that God desperately wants to use him for something. But I can't do that. But I missed my chance that day. But I'm not missing my chance today to tell you right now that you think you've messed up too much for God to love you. That you may think, well, that's good for them, but it's not good for me. It's good for you. He saw you when he was on the cross. He saw you when you had your darkest mistake. He saw you before you ever turned your eyes to him. And he says, that is, you may think that that's just Saul. that persecuted Christians and that nobody wants anything to do with him. But God is looking and saying, that is a chosen vessel unto me. That is somebody that I'm going to use to preach the word, to establish the churches, to reach the lost. You are not too far gone for God to use you. You are not too far gone for God to put you back together better than you ever were and make you whole and set you on the path of righteousness. Begin to shout right now. Go ahead and stand up all across this place. If you are broken, stand up. If you are put together already, stand up. And begin to worship God for seeing you, for loving you. Begin to use your voice right now. There is power in your words. There is power in your voice. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I've come to tell somebody today that you can still preach Pentecost. You can still walk in power. You can still lead your family. You can be seated. You can still fulfill your calling. Your failure is not the finale, but it's the setup for your testimony. It is the setup for you to look somebody in the face and say, I know where you are right now because I used to be there. And I thought I was too far gone. And I thought nobody could love me. And I thought that God could never use me because of the things that I had done. God could never use me because of the house I grew up in. Nobody could ever use me because I don't know all of the scriptures and I don't have everything together. But you cannot mess up too much for God to use you. You cannot do too much for God to give up on you. You are not tossed aside or forgotten. Shame has not won the battle, but God, the victory is His alone. And if God is living inside of you through the power of the Holy Ghost, that same victory that's the Lord's is yours today. That victory is yours today. That victory is yours today. God still sees you and God still loves you, and that victory is yours today. In Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's interesting. I would think he would have despised the cross, but he endured the cross. But what he despised in that moment was the shame. Because he knew that sin can knock you off track, but shame can turn the switch off. That you can mess up and you think that was a hiccup, that was a speed bump. But when shame begins to set in your life, you can say, well, that must have been it. There's no way I can make it back. And there's no point in trying, that I'm too broken. But the cross wasn't just a painful experience. It was a shameful experience. Where Jesus was stripped and he was beaten and he was publicly exposed. The Roman cross was designed to degrade. It wasn't just a death sentence, but it was a humiliation strategy. But the Bible says that Jesus despised the shame. That he looked shame in the face, the same thing that's battling you today and keeping you bound. He looked shame in the face and said, you have no power here. And he carried the weight of our shame so that we didn't have to. Jesus has already waged war on guilt and shame. And Jesus won that war when he spoke the words, it is finished. Jesus took on shame on the cross that day so that you and I can walk out of here in freedom today. Free from your past, free from your mistakes, free from your hurts, free from how you think of yourself, free from whatever has tried to convince you that this is just a Sunday to Sunday experience and not a daily victory experience. That is a lie of the enemy, and shame is falling off of us today as we choose to take our liberty. We're not just going to accidentally walk into freedom. We're not just going to accidentally walk out of our shame, but we have to make up in our mind, I see that I'm surrounded by a prison like Paul and Silas. I see that I'm surrounded by prisoners like Paul and Silas, but I refuse to let my freedom be taken away from me. I may be bound and shackled with my feet and my hands, but my voice can still lift up praises unto God. And so things may happen to me where shame is binding my hands and binding my feet, and it may look like I'm a prisoner, and it may look like I'm bound, it may look like I am lost, but I am refusing to lose my freedom. I'm refusing to act like a prisoner, and I'm going to lift up my praises, not because I expect the walls to fall down, but because I know that my God is good, and I know that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or I can think. And so I know that my miracle is coming. I know that my God is going to redeem me. I know that my God is going to put me on the right track. And so I may be bound and shackled by shame, but I'm not leaving here that same way today. I'm leaving here free today, because there is no shame in the life of those filled with the Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name, and speaking with other tongues. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no, everybody say no, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have been baptized in Jesus' name, and those who are filled with the Spirit, who do not walk according to the flesh, meaning walking according to how you see things, walking according to how other people tell you things should go. Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Condemnation is the courtroom of shame. But in Christ, the verdict has already been decided. Not guilty. When the Holy Ghost fills your life, he does not just give you power, but he gives you peace. He gives you freedom. He does not just give you tongues so you can say you are Pentecostal. No, he gives you a testimony, and he gives you a power so that you can go and not only be free from what you are bound by, but then to go and tell others. Acts 1 and 8 says that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but then you shall be my witnesses all across the globe. To be free and then to share with others that there is freedom from their shame. It doesn't take long to walk through life and see shame all over people. And some of us, it's easier to spot it in others because that's what we battle day in and day out, and that's what we have battled. But Romans 5 and 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When the Holy Ghost comes in, shame has to go out. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is raising up you from the ashes today. That is raising you up out of the chains of addiction, and raising you up out of the chains of self-worth, raising you up out of what you are going through, that maybe you were abused when you were younger. Maybe something happened to you that wasn't your fault, but now you are dealing with that shame and you are dealing with that brokenness. That Spirit that reached into Jesus and lifted him up and resurrected him, it's the same one that is living inside of you and saying, you may have been there for 3 days, but you are coming out of the grave. You have been bound for a season. Sin had had you for a season, but your season of freedom is here today. If you just take your liberty, if you look at the enemy in the face and say, I turn away from you, I repent from the life that I used to be living in, but now I'm grabbing a hold of that victory. I'm grabbing a hold of Jesus. And scripture says that I'm trying to apprehend what first apprehended me, meaning I'm trying to get a hold of the God that first reached out and got a hold of me. And when you do that, there is freedom that's going to take over. And you're going to walk out of here and you're going to have the best Sunday you've ever had. You're going to have the best week that you have ever had. And you're going to walk in the calling that you thought was long dead, or you thought had overlooked you, or you thought was for somebody else and for the perfect professional Pentecostals. No, if you are alive today, that means that you have a calling on your life. That means you have a purpose in your life. And if you have a purpose of God, that means there is somebody else that is waiting and looking for you to answer the call and to take your liberty and to reach them and teach them the gospel and to preach to them and say, you are bound in shame and I used to be, but praise be unto God that he delivered me so that he can deliver you. But if we don't answer that call, if we do not take our liberty, then that person is going to be stuck in darkness and wishing that the church had been the church, and they're going to be lost. But I refuse to let us be like me that day in the car and just asleep and hearing somebody reach out and cry and think that God does not love them and that God cannot love them. But I'm here to shake somebody awake today from their spiritual slumber and say, there is somebody waiting for you to answer that call. There is somebody waiting for you to take your liberty. And today it's happening all across this place. Begin to stand right now as I come to a close. In Jesus' name, clap your hands unto God. Clap your hands if you're free today. You may not feel free yet, but if you can worship your way out of it. You can claim your liberty today in Jesus' name. If you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in tongues, this freedom is for you. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, it is for you today. And all you have to do is want it. And all you have to do is move toward it. If you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus and you have not yet, and if you've been baptized in the titles, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I celebrate that you have made a step and a decision. But there is only power in the name of Jesus. And when you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, every sin, all of your past, everything is going to remain in that water. And you are going to walk out of here, and there's going to be a different person walking in your shoes when you leave out of here. There's going to be somebody that can overstep and step over boundaries and step over obstacles and snakes and scorpions that you used to stumble over and you used to worry about, but now filled with the power and washed clean of your sins with the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to be made new. And if that's you today, just make your way towards that bench so that way you don't feel like everybody's staring at you. I get it. But God's going to move on you today. We already have, my stepfather Bill is going to be getting baptized at the end of this altar call, and I rejoice for it. Jesus. And I know that there are others here that are on the edge and wonder if it's for them. Take the step in faith and do it and step out of your shame and step out of your bondage and into that victory today. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said unto them, repent, meaning turn away from the sin that you are in, turn away from the life that you are in, make the decision, I know where I'm looking, I know what I'm facing, but I'm turning away and I'm looking to Jesus now. I'm looking away from addiction, and I'm looking away from shame, and I'm looking away from bondage, but I'm looking toward Jesus. I forgive me of my sins and wash me clean, and I turn away. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we make it to heaven. But greater than that, heaven's a byproduct of a victorious daily life. I want you to make it to heaven, but I don't want you to go through hell every day until we get there. But when receiving the Holy Ghost is heaven coming down to earth and dwelling inside of you and giving you that victory that we are going to taste and experience in heaven for eternity, is going to live inside of you like a fire shut up inside of your bones, and you're going to be able to refuse to live outside of victory. You will refuse to live in the bondages that the world used to have you in, because when the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you, shame cannot exist anymore. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus, shame and sin cannot dwell anymore. And I feel it today as these altars are open and everybody come to the front that feels called to step out. If you want to stay where you are, you can. But if you're wanting to take a step out of shame and a step out of what the enemy is battling with you, move, and God is going to reach you. God is going to reach down and respond to your act of faith and your movement. And he's going to pour over you. He's going to pour something inside of you. He's going to establish something in you that you thought was not for you anymore, or maybe thought never could be for you. But today, I want you to know that it is for you. And here at this altar, I want you to begin to lift up your hands and to lift up your face to heaven and begin to rejoice in knowing that God, the sin that I walked in here with cannot exist anymore if I'm walking in your light. So God, I turn away. I turn away from my sin. I turn away from my addictions. I turn away from my anxiety and my depression. I turn away from the bondage that has tried to withhold me. But God, right now, I repent. I turn away and I receive you today. And once you have repented, with hands lifted, begin to use your voice to worship God. Begin to use your words out loud to begin to love on Jesus and feel His Spirit begin to pour out over you. You may begin to cry, that's okay. You may begin to feel your mouth begin to make words that you don't understand. That's okay. That's the power of the Holy Ghost filling you up and giving you that new identity. And so in Jesus' name, I pray that your Spirit pours out on us.
How can